Today, sharing the Daf Yomi is Gemara in Gittin Daf Chof Beis. We begin on the second line Chof Beis Omen Aleph with the two dots. We had begun discussing yesterday the dinim of an otzitz nakuv, a flower pot that has a perforation in the bottom, has a hole in the bottom, and therefore is halachically connected to the ground. A otzitz she'eno nakuv is a flower pot that is not halachically connected to the ground, and that has different dinim. So we continue with the Gemara telling us if you have an otzitz, this is the flower pot, Rashi tells us that is nakuv, it has a hole in the bottom. Shel echad belongs to one person, belongs to Reuven. Uzrayim shalachim, but the things that are growing inside of it, the vegetables, whatever is growing inside of it, belong to Shimon. Now, mochar baal otzitz lebaal zroim, the owner of the pot, Reuven, sells to Shimon the flower pot. So now, how does Shimon have to acquire it? He has to go make a kinyan. So Machar Baal Otzitz LeBaal Zroim, Reuven sells his flower pot to Shimon, who owns the seeds inside, the growths inside the flower pot. So as soon as Shimon does a kinyan meshicha, kivan shemoshach, as soon as he does a kinyan meshicha, he brings the pot to him, or he would lift up the pot, kana. So then he now acquires the pot. That is a valid kinyan to acquire the pot. However, Machar Baal Zroim LeBaal Otzitz, if Shimon were to sell his share, his vegetables that are growing in this pot, to Reuven, who owns the pot, so then you can't do a Kinyan Meshicha, because the Zroim, these growths, these vegetables that are growing in the pot, have the status of Karka. And as Rashi points out, you can't make a Kinyan of Meshicha on Karka. So therefore, Lokono Achiyachzik Bizroim. He has to make some sort of a kinyan that is an acceptable for Karka. So it has to be either he gives him money for it, which would be fine, or he does some sort of a tikkun on the vegetables. He does some sort of a nichush, some sort of a hoeing on these vegetables in this flower pot, or he does some other type of a chazok. As Rashi says, in this situation, the Zroim are considered mechubarim lekarka v'dinon kekarka, and they only can be nicknamed bekesef, bishtar, ubechazoka, and you can't make a kinyan meshicha on them. So therefore, the Gemara says lokana ad sheyachzik bizroim. Now, otzitz uzroim shalechot. Let's say Reuven owns the flower pot as well as the zroim, the growths that are inside of the flower pot, and he wants to sell it to Shimon. Umechar liacher. So how does Shimon go and acquire everything? So if Shimon were to hechzik bizroim, he makes some sort of a kinyan on the Zroim, he is older than, he goes and digs a little bit in the flower pot, or he does some sort of other chazaka on the Zroim themselves, so hechzik bizroim, so not only is he kone the Zroim, kone otzis as well. He also acquires a flower pot as well, and this is in accordance with the din that we had previously, Zuhi Shoshanino, this is what we learned elsewhere. This is learned actually in the Mishnah in Kiddushin, nechosim she'en lehem achrayis, when you make a kinyan on karka, you also acquire other things that come along with the karka, the things that are in the karka or on the karka. So this is called dvarim sheyesh lebachrayis, which is karka, when you make a kinyan on that. So you did either kesef, or you did shtar, or you did a chazaka, so then not only do you acquire the karka, you acquire the metaltalim that are on it. So in this situation, when he's, let's say, older in this flower pot, so in this situation, he acquires the zroim, and then he acquires the flower pot along with it, because this is something that is not, doesn't have achrayis, it's nechosim she'en lem achrayis, and they can be acquired, nikdin im nechosim she'esh lem achrayis. But the other way around, nothing works. Hechzik ba'atzis, if you were to just do a kinyan meshicha on the flower pot, so that doesn't acquire the karka, and since the flower pot, the metatlin, is subordinate to the karka, so if you made a chazaka on the otzis, you did a kinyan meshicha on the otzis, so af otzis lokona, you don't even acquire the otzis, unless achiyachzik bizroim, until you go and make a valid kinyan, either with kesef, shtar, or chazaka on the zroim themselves. Now the Gemara continues and tells us, nikvu bo'aretz. If you have a flower pot that is partially in Eretz Yisrael, and the nofo b'chutz l'aretz, so the hole in the ground is over Eretz Yisrael, but it's right on the border, and the branches are nofo, are in chutz l'aretz, they're outside of Eretz Yisrael. So how do we view this flower pot? So Abaye Amar, Bostar, Nikvo, Azlina. We view this as getting all of its sustenance from the land of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore, everything here has to have Trumas and Mises taken from it, like any growth in Eretz Yisrael. Rava disagrees. Rava Amar Basar Nof was leading. You go after where the branches are, where the leaves are. So therefore, if they're outside of Eretz Yisrael, you do not have to take off Trumas and Maisis of them midorais. Now, the Gemara explains this machlokes between Abai and Rava. It says, Vidi Ashrush, where you actually have roots going through the nekev in the flower pot, and they're really physically getting sustenance from Eretz Yisrael, not just theoretically getting sustenance from Eretz Yisrael. So then, everybody agrees, Kuli Amalo Pligi, that in that situation, we view the roots as the critical factor, and everybody would agree that your chayiv in Trumas Maisos midoraisa because it's growing in Eretz Yisrael, because the roots are actually in the ground of Eretz Yisrael. Whereas the machlokes between Abai and Rava ki pligi below ashrish, where there are no roots actually growing into the ground, there's just this theoretical sustenance that it gets through the hole in the bottom of the flower pot. And therefore, that's where Abai says, we still go after the hole in the flower pot, whereas Rava says, no, you go after the nofo, you go after the branches. More questions. It says, really? Over the Ashrish Lopligi, you just said that if there's actually roots growing through the hole in the flower pot, that everybody agrees, even Rabbi agrees, that it's considered as Eretz Yisrael and Yechayim and Trumas of Isras? Well, it's not. But we have a Mishnah in Bava Metzia that seems to say otherwise, because there it's talking about Shnei Ganos Zu Al Gavzu. So imagine this. You have one garden that is higher than the other garden next to it. So one garden is then next to a garden, there's a step down, and the second garden is, let's say, 5 feet lower than the first garden. So you have Shnei Ganos, you have a garden on the left that is higher up, 5 amas higher than the garden on the right. And you have the Yerek Beintayim, you have a growth coming out of the upper garden, and it's growing out into the airspace of the lower garden. It's physically connected to the upper garden. The dirt that it's coming out of is coming out from the upper garden's dirt, but it's going out into the airspace, that 5 foot difference, it's growing out into that airspace that's over the lower garden. So the Yerek Beintayim, that's where this growth is. So we have a machlokes over here between Rav Meir and Rav Yehuda. Rav Meir Omer Shel Elyon, this growth belongs to the upper garden because it is growing physically. It's rooted in the upper garden. It happens to be the airspace of the lower garden, but it's rooted in the upper garden. Reviewer says, no. You go over here, Reviewer Omer Shel Tachton, it belongs to the person in the lower garden. Now, here it clearly seems to say that Reviewer says, even though the growth, the roots are in the upper garden, we view it as the airspace. You view it where the nofo is in the lower garden. So how can you tell me, Biadu Shushi Lo Plige? You see, clearly, Rav Yehuda argues even in that case. So Gemara says, no, you're misunderstanding it. There they have a different argument. It has nothing to do with whether it's rooted in there or not. Hasam, in that situation, the Gemara explains, it explains the machlokas between Rav Meir and Yehuda in the following way. Rav Yehuda says to Rav Meir, I'm a Rav Meir, Ma im yirtze elyon lito lesafaro. What happens if the guy in the upper garden says, oh, I'm digging up my dirt here, and he digs up the root of the vegetable, the growth that's growing out into the lower airspace? It's his garden. He's allowed to go and dig up the dirt. The dirt all belongs to him. So when he digs up the dirt, he takes along the plant that comes along with it. So my yirid say, oh, you'll need to let safaru. He's allowed to do that. It's his dirt. So therefore, and kanyerik, there would be no vegetable, there'd be no growth that would come out in that way. And therefore, Rabbi says, you see clearly that it belongs to the upper garden. Rabbi says back to him, no, what happens in Ma'im, Yirtzahatapto, Lemalos, Esginoso, Ofar, and kanyerik. If the bottom garden says, listen, I'm tired of being 5 feet lower than you, I'm filling in this airspace with dirt, and he fills in the airspace, and now he's perfectly even with the first garden. So in that situation, any vegetables that were growing over there, they're going to be covered with dirt. And therefore, you see clearly that the bottom garden is the one that's the critical factor. Because if he wants to fill it in, ain't kanyari. So you see there, that's a separate machlokas. It has nothing to do with whether ishrushe is the critical factor. It has to do with who has the rights to that dirt and airspace. And that's what Rene and Rehuda are arguing about. And you can't bring a saraya. In fact, we're dealing with a flower pot that has a perforation in the bottom and the roots are going through. Everybody, Abaya and even Rava, would agree in that situation that the ishrushe, the rooting, is the critical factor. More questions. It says, Vakate b'dashrush lo plige, and you're telling me when it's rooted in the flower pot case, there is no machlokas between Abaya and Rava. Even Rava agrees in that situation that we view the roots as the critical factor. But what about the following situation? V'atanya, we learned in the following b'raisa, so b'raisa also in Bava Basra, v'atanya, we learned over there, Elon, miktsaso ba'aretz, umiktsaso b'chutz l'aretz. You have a tree that is partially in Eretz Yisrael and partially in Chutz l'aretz. It's right on the border. And in this situation, Tevel v'chulin muravin zebezeh diri Rebbe. Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, the great Rebbe, says in that situation, any growths, wherever they are going to be considered a mixture of tevel, which means that it was chayiv in trumas u'maaseh because it grew in Eretz Yisrael, and what we have as chulin, because it grew outside of Eretz Yisrael, and therefore midaraisa has no obligations in trumas and maisers. So Rebbe Yehuda Nasi, Rabbi holds that every growth is a mixture, regardless of where the growth is, whether the growth is physically in the airspace of Eretz Yisrael, or the growth is physically in the airspace of outside of Eretz Yisrael, since part of the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, part of the roots are not in Eretz Yisrael, therefore everything is a mixture of tevel and chulin, those that are chayiv in trumas and maisers, and those that are not chayiv in trumas and maisers. That's Rebbe's opinion. Rav Shimon Gamliel disagrees. Rav Shimon Gamliel omer, ha-godel b'chiyuv chayuv, va-godel b'ptur potur. He says that part that is attached to the side of Eretz Yisrael is chayiv in trumas and maisers, and that part which is attached to the side that's growing in chutz laretz is part of trumas and maisers. Oh, what do you see? That Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says it's irrelevant about the Ishrush. We don't view it as a mixture. We say, no, this side, which is growing in Eretz Yisrael, is in fact Chayiv and Trumas Maisus, and the Nofo, this side of the trunk that's growing in Chutz Laretz, is not Chayiv and Trumas Maisus. So that's what the Gemara says. My love, isn't this Machlosin Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel exactly regarding the Ishrush question? And you see that Rabbi Shimon Gamliel says we don't go following the Ishrush. Mixas Nofo Ba'aretz, who makes us Nofo Chutz Laretz. Isn't this talking about that some of the branches, according to Rabbi Shimon Gamliel, are in Eretz Yisrael, and they're Chayiv? And those branches that are outside of Eretz Yisrael are not Chayiv. So you see that you don't follow Ishrush, and therefore, how can you tell me be the Ishrush Lo Pligi? Smur says, no, that's not the proper understanding of this machlokes between Rebbe and Rav Shimon ben Gamliel. Lo, because mixas shoroshin ba'aretz, Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that part of the roots are in Eretz Yisrael, and therefore everything that's sustained by those roots, that is considered chayiv and trumas u'maaseres. And umixas shoroshin b'chutz laretz, and that part of the growths that are growing outside of Eretz Yisrael, that's because their roots are outside of Eretz Yisrael. Bottom line is, even Rav Shimon ben Gamliel says that the roots are the critical factor. Shmuel says, "Umay time of the Rishon Gamliel." So, what's his rationale be for saying that they don't mix it all from the bottom? If you're telling me the roots are the critical factor, why are you telling me that those nofo that are in Eretz Yisrael are only growing from the roots in Eretz Yisrael, and those nofo that are in Chutz Laretz are only growing from the roots in Eretz Yisrael? Why doesn't he say like Rabbi that there's a mixture? Shmuel says, "Because the mafsik tsunma, because there's rocks underneath the tree. So basically, you're saying that the tree really is like two trees. There's the tree that's in Eretz Yisrael, that has the roots in Eretz Yisrael, then it's separated underneath the tree with rocks, and then there are the other roots that are Chutz Laretz. And so to say, the sustenance of the Nofo in Eretz Yisrael is only from the roots in Eretz Yisrael, and the sustenance of the Nofo in Chutz Laretz is only from the roots in Chutz Laretz. The Gemara says, if that's true, then my time of the Rebbe, why does Rebbe say that they are mixed? So the Gemara says, because the Hadre are they, because Rebbe says, how does the rocks at the bottom separate the fact that the roots ultimately come back into the trunk of the tree? When it comes back into the trunk of the tree, that's where they mix. And therefore, the nofo that it's in Eretz Yisrael is partially sustained by the roots in Chutz Laretz. And the nofo in Chutz Laretz is partially sustained by the roots in Eretz Yisrael. Therefore, he says it's a mixture. Every fruit is a mixture of chulin and tevel. The hadre arvi, because they mix ultimately in the tree. No, why doesn't Reb Shimon Gamliel hold like that? Because Mar Saravar Avira Mevalvel. Because Rebbe holds that when they get mixed in the trunk of the tree, they are considered mixed. Whereas Reb Shimon Gamliel disagrees with Mar Saravar Hailuchu Dekoi. He says, no, they don't really mix in the tree. It's still the stuff on the Eretz Yisrael side really goes and supports the Nofo on the Eretz Yisrael side. And the stuff on the Chutz Laretz side is really supported by the roots on the Chutz Laretz side. Even though they're mixing somewhat in the trunk, they're still considered separate. Okay, that's the machlokas, Rebbe and Shimon Gamliel, but doesn't question or the ishush that everybody agrees, Abai and Rebbe both agree, that if the roots are the sole sustenance of Eretz Yisrael, so then everybody agrees that then it's considered as if it's Eretz Yisrael product. Okay, then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, Rehu de Mesera Omer Bechule, Rehu de Mesera said that you're not allowed to get on something that had been previously erased because we're concerned about being mezuyof. You couldn't be able to tell another erasure on it. You can't use a parchment that had been previously erased. And you also said you can't use it on diftra, which we said is a certain type of parchment. And now we'll explain exactly what the diftra is. There are three different types of oros that we're going to be talking about here in our Gemara. There's actually four. Tosus points out that there's also something called klaf. But klaf, since the Mishnah tells us specifically what the shear of klaf is, that is the size of a parchment that you could write the tefillin on, so therefore That is not considered something that we're going to discuss right now. In any event, there are Gimel Orosei. The first one is called Matzah. That we'll see is the least processed. Then you have Chefa, which is slightly more processed. And then you have Diftarov, which is slightly more processed, but not fully processed. Klaf is the one that's fully processed. So these three types of parchments or hides that have been partially processed, they have the following halacha. In order to be oser on Shabbos, to be chayev chatos, you have to carry something that is a significant amount. How do you define something as a significant amount? That item, which is used for a specific, the smallest amount of that item that is used for a specific activity, that is considered something that is chashuv, and therefore you'd be chayev chatos if you carry that on Shabbos, for, let's say, Rishus HaYochid, Rishus HaRabim, or Dalet Amos, Rishus HaRabim. So matzah, that type of a parchment that is matzah, it comes from a hide, but it hasn't been processed at all. So that's kimashmo. It's like matzah in the fact that matzah is just water and the flour. There's nothing else there. So this type of a parchment that we call matzah, this type of a hide that we call matzah, has not been processed at all. The lo maliach, it hasn't been salted. The lo kamiach, it hasn't had flour added to it. These are all parts of the tanning process. And the lo ofetz, it hasn't had the gallnut juice added to it. So therefore, it is totally unprocessed, and therefore it is known as matzah, similar to matzah that has nothing else added to it. Now, in what regard do we need to know that this type of a hide, this early stage of a hide, is called matzah? In what regard? As I pointed out, Motzo Shabbos. What is the shear of this type of a hide that you carried on Shabbos? You would be chayev a chatos. If you carry this by accident from Rosh Hashanah to Rosh Hashanah, let's say. But kama shiro, because what is the shear of this? Kidiktani Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda, the amount would be, as Rav Shmuel Bar Yehuda said, kidei lotzud mishkal kitana, in order to go and enclose, to cover a very tiny weight. Their weights were made out of lead, Rashi says, and therefore, if you were to go and leave it exposed, so it would eventually erode away some of the lead. And therefore, it wouldn't be an accurate weight. So in order to make sure that it doesn't become an inaccurate weight, as Rashi says, it was shel oferis, was made out of lead, asulios pocheses, it would constantly, over time, erode a little bit, and therefore, umechapeno sobar, they would go and place it in some sort of a hide, shelo tehe nishofes upocheses, so it shouldn't erode, shouldn't deteriorate, and become less, and you could use it in an accurate way. So therefore, kidei lotzur mishkal ketana, in order to go and cover up a very small weight. And how much was this small weight? Makama? So Amar Abaye tells us, ki riva, the river, the pumpadisa. It was a fourth of the weight in pumpadisa, which was a very small amount. As Rashi says, mishkal katan shalenoya. This was the smallest weight. So therefore, this was the smallest size of a hide that was significant, and you didn't need a processed hide for this, so you could use this matzah hide. So that's the first type of a hide, matzah, which was just a hide without any processing whatsoever. The next type of a hide we said was chayfa. This hide is a little bit processed. It's salted, the maliach, so it's undergoing the first stage of the processing, but it didn't have the second and third stages, low kamiach, didn't have the flour added to it, low office, didn't have the gallnut juice added to it as well. What's the halach over here telling us, chayfa? The mahiachos, again, hotzah Shabbos, in regards to how much you have to carry out in Shabbos to be chayiv, the kamashur, what is that shir? Kiditnan, like we have in the Gemara in Shabbos, the Mishnah in Shabbos tells us, or how much of this hide, this chayfa, kidei lasos kamiya, in order to make an amulet. So they would need to enclose the amulet in a hide. So this is the amount for chayfa. And then the third type of a hide, before you get to the klaf, which is the fully finished hide, which is parchment, so that is diftera. So diftera has the first two stages, the maliach, it's salted, the kamiach, and it has flour added to it, the low office, but it doesn't have the gallnut juices added to it, which would then make it into klaf. And what's the halach over here for the diftera? L'may hilchasa. That's in regards to also l'hotzah Shabbos, the kamashur, what is the shear for that? So this shear is, kidei lichtov olav es haget. Ah, you see, the Tanakama, who disagrees with Rabbi Yehuda Mibisera, so the Tana Kaba holds that this would be an effective get if you wrote it on the diftra. He's not as concerned about this potentially being able to be mezuyav, whereas Rabbi Yehuda Mibisera says, no, this would not be able to be tell the difference between if it was mezuyav or not, if it been erased or not, and therefore Rabbi Yehuda Mibisera doesn't allow this, but the Tana Kaba did in fact allow such a diftra, and the minimum size for being over carrying such a diftra on Shabbos would be the amount that would be needed to write a get. Then we quote the Mishnah. The Mishnah said, "V'chacham mashir." The Chacham is the opinion that argues with Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira. It's not really the Tana Kama, but Rabbi Yehuda ben Maseira seem to argue with somebody. So he's really arguing with these Chachamim who say no, that we're not concerned about the diftera being something that's erased. Same thing, even with paper that was erased, we're not concerned. So how come? Why aren't they concerned? Macha chamim. So Gemara says, Amar Rabbi Elazar. This is Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Amora. So the Amora, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, tells us in return of Beis, Amar Beis, that this opinion is, the Chachamim's opinion is, it's the Tana Rabbi Elazar he. This is the Tana Rabbi Elazar. Rabbi Elazar ben Shamua. And the Amora, Rabbi Elazar, is telling us that this is the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Elazar. The Amar, who holds, this is our famous Rabbi Elazar who argues with Rabbi Shimon, and this Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, is the Tana who argues and says that the Eide Mesira Akarse and not the Eide Chasima like Rabbi Meir. The Amor Rabbi Elazar, furthermore, this Amora Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas tells us, Lo Hichshir Rabbi Elazar, the Tana Rabbi Elazar ben Shemua, was not making it good, Elali Alter. He only said that this type of a get that he allows you, the Chachamim in our mission, which is Rabbi Elazar, allow you to use this paper that had been erased previously and the Diftra because he wasn't concerned about it being a Mezuyav, being forged, because he said you're only allowed to use it right away since he holds Eidim Mesira Karsi. So the Eidim Mesira were there at the time that it was written, and therefore they're handing it over now and saying, yeah, this is it. There are no concerns about forgery in this situation because it just happened right now. And if there were any conditions that had been erased, they're going to say, hey, that was added on afterwards. So he's not concerned. The Amora Rabbi Elazar tells us that the Tana Rabbi Elazar is not concerned that there's an issue of mezuyah in this case because it's given over right now, the altar. However, avo mikan adasor yamin. But if it's not given over the altar, it's given over at any point later in time. He uses the lashon of adasor yamin, but it means any time after that. So then, lo, then even the Tana Rabbi Elazar would be concerned about mezuyah and wouldn't allow you to give the get on a piece of paper that had been erased or on this diftra, because he would also be concerned that many times they would only remember right now when you give it alter, the Eidim Mesira will remember, yeah, that was the case. But if you give it a year later, you give it 10 days later, you give it some point in time later, it's possible, Chayshinon, Dilma, Havabe Tanah. In fact, there were conditions in the get. Let's say the get said that she had to go and give $100. So they'll forget about that if they don't give it the alter, and they'll therefore, they erased it, somebody erased it and says, no, you don't have to do $100, only do $5. And they won't remember. Viziyafte, and therefore, there is a concern if you don't give it the altar, that maybe there were conditions in the get that have been erased or added, and therefore, this is not a valid get. And therefore, even Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, is concerned if you don't give it the altar. That's the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Amora, about the opinion of Rabbi Elazar, the Tana. Rabbi Yochanan disagrees. Rabbi Yochanan, Omar, no, the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, holds Afilu Mikan Adasor Yomim. He says, no, you're not going to forget something like this. If there's a Tanai in there, these are the Eidim Mesira. They're going to know. Dim Isa, the Havabe Tanai, Midkar Dechira. They're going to remember because there aren't that many Tanaim usually made. And therefore, if there was a Tanai, the Eidim Mesira will remember. And therefore, even if it's not Lialdi, even if it's given at a later point in time, Rabbi Yochanan's opinion is that Rabbi Elazar, the Tana, would say that that's still acceptable. Now, the Amar Rabbi Elazar, furthermore, Rabbi Elazar ben Pedas, the Amar Rabbi Elazar said, Lo Hichshir Rabbi Elazar the Tana, Ela Begitin, that Rabbi Elazar the Amora said that the opinion of Rabbi Elazar the Tana, that you're allowed to use an erased piece of paper, an erased parchment, or diftera, that's only in regards to Gittin. And he would also said it's only in regards to Lealter. But he said this is a special din that the rabbis said we allow for Gittin because of the concern of Aguna. If we don't allow this, so then he won't write the get now. He goes off the business trip and Nebuchadnezzar doesn't come back. And the woman, unfortunately, will be potentially a Aguna that she doesn't have a get. Avo b'shtar shtoros, but with financial documents, any other type of document, lo, he wouldn't allow such a thing because the pasuk says, "Dichsev unisatom b'chli cheres l'man yamdu yomim rab." And we had the case yesterday where Yirmiyahu was telling the people, even though Eretz Yisrael is going to be Nebuchadnezzar, the base of Egypt will be Nechrab, and you're going to be in Golos for 70 years, but you're going to come back, and therefore go write documents that will be documents that will last for a while. L'man yamdu yomim rabim. So he gave the example where he brought from Hanamel ben Shulam. He bought the document, so he said, make sure you have good documents and put them into the ground, the Satim B'chli Cheres, in order that they should be able to withstand the time, because 70 years later, you're coming back. So therefore, what do you see? That he only allowed it for Gittin, but he didn't allow for other documents. These other documents, the potential of Mezuyah, nobody's going to remember 70 years later, so therefore, he didn't allow for those documents. And here, too, Rabbi Yochanan, the Amori Rabbi Yochanan, says, no, that's not the opinion of the Tana Rabbi Elazar. I disagree with you, Amori Rabbi Elazar. The opinion of the Tana, Rabbi Elazar, Rabbi Yochanan Amar, Afilu B'shtaros, that when Rabbi Elazar the Tana allowed the erased parchment to be used again, or the diftra to be used, he allowed it even for other types of documents. where it says, I, how do you understand the pasuk? Well, Ksiv, Laman Yamdu, Yamin Ravid, the pasuk says that it has to last for a while. And this, obviously, if there's a concern about forgery, it won't last for a while. So Gemara says, no. That pasuk in Yirmiyah, Hasim Eitz Tova Kamashvila. That's a good idea. He's giving us a very good suggestion. Why don't you do that in order that you shouldn't have to worry about Ziyuv? But the bottom line is, technically, it would be acceptable even if you didn't go and write it on a new clean parchment. You wrote it on a parchment that previously erased, or you wrote it on the diftra. That technically is good. No, Eitz Tova. Don't write it on such a document. It's early, so let's continue with the next Mishnah. We'll go a little bit further. Where it starts, the Mishnah tells us, Hakol Sheirim Lichtovas Aget. Everybody is allowed to go and write a get, including even people that one might have thought are not able to write the get. They won't have to explain why. Afilu Cheirim Shot to the Kotel. The classical three examples of people that are not considered halachically a bar das, not considered mentally competent. A Cheirim is a person who doesn't have the ability to speak or to hear, so he wasn't considered a bar das. A shota, a person nebuch that was insane, a person that had mental deficiencies, so he is considered also not a bar das, and a kotel, no matter how bright the child is, if he's below the age of bar mitzvah, so he's not considered a bar das. So all of them are allowed to write a get. We'll have to explain why. If you need lishma, how are you going to accomplish this? And as well, ha'isha koseres esgita, a woman can write her own get. Now, the get has to come from the man. So how's a woman able to write the get? So the answer is she writes the get. And in fact, the rabbis made a takon, as we explained previously, that the funding of the sofer, the payment for the sofer, has to come from the woman in order to prevent her from becoming an aguna. If the din was let the man have to go pay for it, which is the technical din, it has to be the man's get. So then he may end up saying, I'm not paying the sofer, and the woman could be left as an iguna. So therefore, the rabbis instituted the woman should pay for the get. She could even write the get herself, and then she has to transfer it over to her husband, and then the husband owns it, and then the husband can go and give it to her. And likewise, the same thing applies, v'ish kosei v'shovro. Since technically, the woman would have to give him the receipt. If the woman says, no, I'm not giving you a receipt for having received the ksuba, or the other documents that a person may have, so it would be the responsibility of the person to go and give the receipt to the person who paid him. So the person who is benefiting from having the receipt is allowed to go and write the receipt, give it over to the other person, and have that person give it to them. Because she'ein kiyam haget ela b'chosmav. And the reason why this works is because this goes in accord with the idea that the chosmim on the get are going to, in fact, go and make this get a valid get. So therefore, it doesn't make a difference if the woman or the other people wrote it. The chasima on the get is going to make it into a valid get. Now, Gemara starts off and says, again, how could the chayri shot and the katan be the ones to write a get? They're not competent, and therefore, Rashi says, lo yadu lichtov lishma. They can't write a lishma, and a get must be written lishma. So the Gemara answers, Amar Puna, and we turn to Chaf Gimel Lamed Aleph. It's not a problem. Huaya shahaya gadol omed al gabov, that you have a knowledgeable person, a bardas, standing over there. Rashi explains, top Rashi, the omulo, the gadol says to the chayrishot the katan, kisov litzorich ploni. You're writing this on the benefit lishma of Reuven, who's divorcing his wife Sara. The ksava, Rav Huna holds that our Mishnah Masnisin is Rabbi Elazar, he who holds the boy Ksiva Lishma. It has to be, the Ksiva must be Lishma. And the Sefer, the Kamar, She'en Kiyam Aget, Ela Bechosmav, Hainu Ede Mesira. That which the Mishnah says, that it must be the Chasima, it meant the Ede Mesira. The Rov Gitin Nimsarim Bifnei HaChosman, because most times the get is given by the chosman or given in front of the chosman, the Mtsiusakoi, and it's going on the middle part, below Aresha Lach Shurek Sivas Cheresh, below Godol Agabav. And therefore, the Mishnah is telling us that you must have this Godol watching over the Cheresh the Kotel to make sure that it's done Lishma. That is the opinion of Rav Huna. Rav Nachman questions this. Amalei Rav Nachman says to Rav Huna, wait a second, El Bayata, based upon what you're saying, that a Cheirishot and Katan, as long as there's a Gadol standing over them, it's valid the Shema, so then are you telling me the same thing would apply with an Ovi Kochavim? An Ovi Kochavim is allowed to write a get? What happens if there's an Ovi Kochavim? Yisrael Omid Agaba. The Yisrael's telling him, go and write this get. He tells Chris, the guy, the Ovi Kochavim, go write this get on behalf of Reuven for his wife Sarah. So is that allowed? Hachanami the Karshi, you're telling me that that's a good gusher get? And you're going to tell me, yeah, it is. Hachanami, you're going to tell me, yeah, that is a gusher get, but that's not what the Brisa says. Well, Tanya, Ovi Kochom is possible, no matter what. Even if there's a Godol, Omid al-Gabab, and Ovi Kochom can't write a get, because he's not a Bardas. So how can you tell me that the Cheresh Shot and Kotlin, even though they have a Godol standing over them, are able to go write a get? So That's Rav Nachman's question on Rav Huna. Rav Huna responds. He says, "Ovi kochavim ledaite dinafsheya," but it's different. And Ovi kochavim is not a lav bardas. He is a bardas, and therefore you can tell him all you want. Write this on behalf of Reuven for his wife Sarah, and he says, "Oh, I'm not doing that. I'm doing for whatever I want." So, as opposed to Chayri Shat and Kotin that don't have das, the Ovi Kochavim has das. He'll do his own das, and therefore the opinion of Rav Huna is that in fact the Chayri Shat and Kotin who don't have das, you can give them das, so to say, by having the Yisrael Gadol Omid Al Gabav. But the Ovi Kochavim, he's going to do it l'daitei, did not shake all that. He's going to do whatever he wants anyway. As Rashi says, the whole gadol, this guy is a gadol, the eshbo das, and he is a bar das from an intellectual point of view. The alpha pish is there, omer lo, and even though the yid's standing over him and saying that you should write it, l'shem so-and-so, l'shem his wife, shemo hu gomer belibo, l'shem acher, he's doing it on his own. He says, ah, I'm going to get these guys in trouble. I know their laws, and this way the woman will think she's divorced, and she's really not divorced. So, a katan, however, ain bo das, ella l'mah shezeh mitzaveo. The katan has no independent das, and therefore, if the gadol stands over a cherishot or katan, it works, but if he stands over a goy, it doesn't work. So that's Rav Huna's teretz, Rav Nachman. However, the Gemara now says, Hadar Amr Rav Nachman. Subsequently, Rav Nachman said, Lav Nilsi D'Amri. That which I said, my original question on Rav Huna, is not a good question. Lav Nilsi D'Amri. That which I said is not a good question. Why? Because the next Mishnah is going to tell us that an Ovi Kochavim is not allowed to be the one who brings the get. He can't be the Ede Mesira. That implies Michlal, since it has to tell us he can't be Deide Masira, that implies Michlal, the Le'inyan Kesiva, that in regards to writing a get, technically, Kasha, the guy can write a get. And therefore, my question is not a good question. You yourself brought down the rice of Tanya, Ovi Kochavim Pasul. You yourself brought down the rice that the guy cannot write a get. How can you not say that the guy can write a get? So Gemara says, no. This Braisa and our Mishnah are authored by Rabbi Loza and Rabbi Meir, respectively. Hi, Rabbi Loza. This Braisa goes according to the opinion of Rabbi Loza. He says that Ovi Kochavim is possible because the Omar, A de Mesira Karsi. He says because it's the one who delivered the get are the ones that are actually making the get. They're the one that effectuate the get and not the Chasima. So therefore, Be'inon Kesiva Lishma. But you require the Kesiva to be Lishma. And v'habadai Ovi Kochavim adai to the Nashay Kovet. And as I had said, as Rav Huna had responded to my original question, the Ovi Kochavim has his own das, and therefore you can't have a yid standing over him and expect that that's going to be what the das of the Ovi Kochavim is. He has his own das, and therefore that price is going according to Rulaz, who says, Ede Masira Karsi, but you need the get to be written Lishma, and here the guy has his own intentions, and there's no way that you can guarantee that he's writing Lishma. And that's why the price is going according to Rulaz. But in fact, the Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir. Rav Meir says, Ede Chasima Karsi. And therefore, our Mishnah holds that the Gadol, standing over the Chayrishot of the Katan, gives them the Das that makes the get that's written there that it should be Lishma, and then the witnesses who sign on it are doing it Lishma as well. And therefore, our Mishnah goes according to Rav Meir, and the Spreiser, Rav Nachman says, goes according to Rav Elazar. This is a good break point. We'll stop over here. This concludes today's shiur.